Okay, theoretically, all three of us can hear each other?
Can we?
Yeah. I can't hear Ainsley.
I can hear Joe.
I was just kidding. I can hear you. That's kind of it was you.
Fuck off.
Aw, we're up to our same old tricks. I love it.
So, how have you all been? It's been a little while since we did a show.
Yeah, I gotta stretch my legs. Hold on a second. Clear my throat.
Oh, are you recording me?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We're rolling. We're rolling like disco.
So for the live show, I'm gonna bring a special treat that I've actually been saving since we started the show, and it's definitely hit the expiration date. On a food item, but I think it'll be fine.
Oh. I'm not scared. I'll eat some off things.
I assume that the any hot sauce available will be able to like kill whatever we catch from this thing that we eat.
That too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just eat enough of it. It'll in the hot sauce. It'll burn up whatever chemicals that poisoned you.
Mm-hmm.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, I was thinking we should talk a little bit about the show. This is like our meeting here now. So, like, call to order. You already get the minutes that I passed around.
I love that our call to order and like meeting will just be published.
Right. We got to make sure to go through all the same jokes that people do at live podcasts, where they're like, "Who are these people in my living room?"
I vote we avoid that, personally.
I don't. I vote we maintain all terrible tropes.
Oh, yes. No, I'm thinking, yeah, we got to harass the cocktail staff into delivering us drinks. We got to be unnecessarily sexist. I mean, we are in the Weinstein era, of course.
All right. Well, I will make sure that I'm super sexist towards you guys and nonstop abrasively abusive.
Yeah.
How's that?
Now, I'm just kind of curious. Is the length of the skirt negotiable, Ainsley? Because, like, this is a really short skirt that you have us wearing. Like, I mean.
No, I'm basically want everyone to be terrified that if you raise your arms, we're going to see the tip of your dick.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I mean, I guess I could start.
Well, that's the look we're going for. It's part of the aesthetic of the show. You just have to kind of play along, okay? Be a team player.
Got it. I guess I have to be. Okay, cool. And then you're going to bring the costume, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was one of the best fucking purchases I've ever made.
What?
I'm a man who will commit to like a $70 joke very easily and very quickly.
So I am in search of somebody to wear that at a key point during the show. We'll stay tuned on that front.
Most of our viewers won't know what we're talking about, but Ainsley, we're bringing my Halloween costume. It was on Facebook. It's fucking not very funny, but also hilarious.
I don't pay attention to you on Facebook, so.
You've got me on take a break mode.
Have you guys handle more of this bullshit?
Yeah, you can now snooze people for like 30 days or 10 days or something like that.
So, you know, the take a break is like I just broke up with my girlfriend, but I'm or partner or whatever, and I'm hoping I can still sleep with them, so I don't want to delete them.
Right.
But I also don't want to see their stuff and cry.
Yeah, not for like the next like however much. Yeah, actually, I'm going to try it right now just so I can see that message again, because I looked at it at one point and
I did too, because I broke up with my then girlfriend.
See, I'm too nosy. I still want to know what everyone's up to, so I would never do that.
Right.
I'm like, well, you can't.
You're not part of my life, but I still want to know what's happening.
Yeah, so they don't know about this.
They
yeah.
can't see your stuff.
And so here it is. Snooze for 30 days. Temporarily stop seeing posts. Since this is the first time on this browser that I've done it, it's actually giving me the full message. Introducing Snooze. You can choose to stop viewing posts for up to 30 days. So I guess you can't do it for like more than 30.
I didn't realize it was called Snooze. I checked it out a while ago. I thought it said take a break, but Snooze is a worse/better name.
Well, it's like an alarm clock, you know? Like, this person's posts keep blaring.
Give me a break until this terrible thing comes back into my life.
Yeah, so I just need to snooze this person for a few minutes before I can actually deal with what they have to say.
Yep.
That's fantastic. See, this social media is it finds new ways to screw with us, even though our show may not have changed.
No, not real. I don't foresee it ever changing. We could do a like reunion episode in 10 years, and it'd be like Ainsley House Tinder.
Still awful, I'm sure.
Yeah, I haven't been on in a while. I tried Bumble and got a whole lot of zero responses.
I'm not familiar with Bumble.
No, I haven't tried that. No, I did accidentally pocket super like a guy recently, which was awkward when he messaged me, and I had to be like, sorry, guy, I didn't actually mean to do that, but good luck. And then he kept trying to talk to me like, oh, well, I'll just give you my number. We can do that. And I'm like, no, I mean, like, I didn't mean to do that. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually not. Ugh, yeah. That's rough.
So, yeah.
He could have been the one.
He could have been. He was, other than being slightly clueless, one of the more polite interactions I've had with dudes recently.
Isn't that sad? Oh, man. Just to be clear, the device in your pocket might actually be able to divine the one that you want and super like them instead of you being able to go out into the world and find them yourself.
Google is listening to everything we say. It's entirely possible they've devised a way to come up with a better dating algorithm for me than Tinder, and it's just out there doing it for me.
Right?
That sounds like the future, personally. Like, Google's just going to figure out everything about me and find my match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do jack shit.
It's kind of appealing.
That's actually the ideal situation. Like, I don't have to do anything, and some dude is just like, hey, I'm your soulmate. Like, sweet, get over here.
Right.
I think that's how OkCupid's percentages work.
In theory, except no, because with OkCupid, you're answering all the questions yourself. So you could be lying to yourself. Google knows it knows what you're talking about. It knows what you're searching for with your stupid questions that you Google all the time. It's like, no, this is how smart this person actually is. And this is the kind of things they're actually interested in. This other shit show is who they should be dating.
Everyone who answers OkCupid questions answers them in the way that's going to get them the most laid.
Mm-hmm.
I've never put a real opinion on OkCupid.
I imagine people are, you know, because like the internet is just built for people who are trying to game the system. And so I imagine, like anything else, OkCupid is just full of people who know, like, oh, these keywords are going to get me the most BJs.
Well, they have that feature now. I've opened it recently where it will like give you little hints and tips. And it's like women who message first are like 70% more likely to get a date. And
whoa, really?
Yeah. Men who mention such and such, I don't remember what it was, in their profile are more likely to get matches and all this stuff. I'm like, you're just telling people like how to lie about themselves.
Right.
Better.
Yeah.
Like, not because these people actually believe these things, but because you told them that it would be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to mention it now.
You remember in the early days of internet dating, you remember the big concern everybody has was whether or not the photo was going to match the reality. And now, like, the concern is so much deeper than that. Like, I know that everyone is lying about everything. So, like, can I just get laid for one night?
I mean, I could. I'm positive if I really felt like it. But, like, it's not really my goal. So...
79% more chance, you know?
I can just go to a bar and get drunk and, like, pick some random dude, and it would work. And that's not really... There's no fun in that. It's not challenging, and it's not... Like, doing easy shit all the time isn't fun, so...
Yeah.
Why?
No, I remember, you know, I had a friend who early on would try to impart this dating wisdom to me, where he says, like, you know, if you really think that, you know, you're not doing well dating... just, you know, try this trick, lower your standards. And like, as soon as he put it that way, I was like, oh, that's right. I have standards. Never mind. Okay. That's why it's hard.
Yeah. It's hard because you have standards. That's the only reason dating is hard. If you really think about it, you can get probably anybody, like, as long as your standard is zero, like, literally anybody. The fact that you have standards is why dating is hard.
Yeah. There are bars crawling with people who have their standards at just the right height for you to limbo under if you'd like to. considering creepy parts of the internet, has anyone ever actually explored their ads preferences page on Facebook?
Have I ever looked at it?
Yeah, this is something I was just tipped to a little bit ago. You can actually look at the ad preferences that Facebook has configured for you to figure out why they keep showing you the same dumb fucking ad that you hate and you keep wanting to delete over and over again. And it's a public link, facebook.com/ads/preferences. And if you're logged in, it'll just show you what is currently set for your information, the advertisers that you've interacted with, what your current ad settings are, other bits and bobs about what Facebook is tracking about you.
Huh. I mean, I knew they were tracking everything because that's what they do, but I haven't personally looked at it. I don't care that much. I want them to give me the same stupid, shitty ads over and over that I can just ignore without getting creeped out that they're reading my mind too badly.
I get weird ads. I got one today that was like, snatch your underwear with your girlfriend all day long, all year long with a Valentine's gift. And I was like, that's a weird present.
Yeah. No thanks.
Like, it was like matching underwear sets that they sent you like once a month or something for you and your girlfriend or partner, boyfriend, or whoever you buy them for, you know. Mm. But like, I just don't think that's a good present.
No, it's not.
that's a present that like 18-year-olds in love think is going to be a good present.
18-year-olds and like 50-year-olds. That's the two demographics that really want that.
Yeah.
Nobody else really wants
that. The 50-year-olds are like, I'm going to get some sexy underwear. That's not how old. How 50-year-olds sound. I don't know.
Not the sexy underwear, but no, I'm talking about like the old people who wear like matching sweaters with their partners and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like matching suits.
So just looking at some of the interests that Facebook has matched me with for my for advertising purposes, just pulling this up. Some of it is like super specific. Like obviously, if I mention NPR in posts, then it's going to say, hey, one of your interests is NPR. So I get why that one's showing up. I get why like specific bands that I directly reference show up. but like there's these abstract ones like comedy movies. Like, I don't talk about comedy movies on social media.
We've talked about them a lot.
But it's this weird on the podcast. But like the vague comedy movie-ness, you know, of like they've pegged me as that is an interest of mine. Like that seems very strange. And then I love the option that now I can remove that as an interest. Like, no, Facebook, you pegged me wrong. I don't like comedy movies. Remove.
Who does? I was watching Weekend at Bernie's 2 the other day.
In the tradition of watching sequels on this program.
I mean, I haven't seen Weekend at Bernie's 1 in years, so I thought it was appropriate to watch 2. Mm-hmm. That's not a comedy movie. It's
a horror movie.
I think it's just a smut film, basically.
Right.
I guess it's a smut film that's already ended.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Is the good part.
You
after the snuff. But like, film.
I just assume and know you've both seen it. I absolutely lost my shit at the scene where he's walking underwater with headphones on because the music makes him come alive. Oh my god.
What? No, I have not actually seen this movie. But now
that's
I really
your homework,
want to.
Ainsley.
So.
Well, while we're on the subject of follow-up, I did want to tell you, Joe, that I found a way that you could watch, because we were talking about that stupid baseball sequel, Sandlot 2. Yeah, I wanted to let you know, Joe, that it is available now through the HBO Go app. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I bet I know someone with that.
Yeah, so you could watch both Sandlot and Sandlot 2 in one sitting if you wanted.
I don't think I need to watch one because
you remember it pretty well.
I don't know why. Yeah. And honestly, it's going to make me really not want to watch the second one.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, it's just going to make you super sad to realize what they're going to ruin.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, this movie was good.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm sad.
Well, here, I'll make you happy by talking about something yeah. I was forced to watch recently. Have either of you heard of the Bubble Guppies?
No.
No, but I would love to.
So in the vein of shitty, shitty kids animation and cartoons, there is a show for the tweens, but kind of like younger set than that, you know, like 10, 9, 8 range. And people younger even love it. I've been watching a kid recently, so I'm exposed to all this terrible kids programming. So Bubble Guppies is this awful show where it's these mer people who are in like preschool essentially, and they started a band and they have adventures and they sing songs, except that the way that what they do is amazing. They basically have one song that they rewrite lyrics for and they play it throughout the entire thing.
So it's the kids' version of Wesley Willis.
Kind of, yeah. Oh my gosh, that's a very apt. So the one that I was forced to watch, season 4, episode 11, Guppy Style! From the Bubble Guppies 2011 to 2016 series, in case people were wondering. Original air date 29 April 2016. This hour-long Bubble Guppies movie is about the group hitting the road to see a concert by their favorite musician, Stylie, who sings songs about all of the fabulous styles that people can wear. They travel by land, sea, and air and encounter many people wearing the styles that Stylie sings about.
So it's just it's an hour-long kids movie about clothes?
Yeah, exactly. It teaches girls shop, specifically. Oh,
we should burn that to the ground. There are zero redeeming qualities about that.
Pretty much. There's so many layers to like how messed up this is, because if we go to the official Bubble Guppies fandom wikia,
God.
Yeah, which does exist. There's lyrics
of course it does.
Right, exactly. But it has lyrics too for the whole song that you can read along with. Here we go. Pull it up. And where is the song here? Rock Your Style is the name of the song in this episode. And it's the one song repeated over and over and over again. And so so it goes through like all these different fashions. Like it goes through the country fashion, it goes through hip hop fashion, it goes through beach fashion, as they say, fancy, high fashion, and then one person they meet is just everyday fashion.
Okay, so it's them even like going around the world to different cultures and seeing traditional dress anywhere and having that big, you know, educational redeeming quality. This is just complete different styles of clothes in America.
Yeah, this is like, put on a cowboy hat, it's your style. And then like the best part is that the chorus is, style comes from within, and then they talk about all the things that you can put on to wear. So I was forced to sit through this one. I figured I'd force you guys to hear about the Rock Your Style song. It's rough. And this is like actually not as bad version of what's out there now for kids. Like some of this 3D animated garbage, it has less substance than this.
Well, I wonder about the people who, like, went to college, right? They, like, there's people who went to, like, SCAD, like, one of the top animation schools in the country, who what they do is animate some shitty-ass fucking kids show that, like, they can't be happy about doing.
Oh, sure.
I don't know, maybe it's because it's just being your field, but it just, it leaves me wondering a little, like, oh, all right. There's a movie I want to see pretty badly called, like, Walt Disney's Frozen Head, which is another one of those, like, guerrilla shot films that was made in Disneyland. There's been, like, three of those now.
I like that. I'm trying.
Have you seen Escape from Tomorrowland?
No.
No.
Okay, so it's, like, a weird, fucked up black and white movie that was filmed guerrilla style in Disney World. The whole thing was filmed there. It's really fucking good. I really highly recommend it. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, Escape from Tomorrowland. It was, like, in Sundance Film Festival and stuff. But it's, so this other one is in the same vein, and it's black and white too, which leads me to believe that, like, they kind of have to do black and white because lighting or something like that. I mean, you're shooting it guerrilla style, so you can't get your lighting the same all the time, I'd imagine.
Right.
I could do it with a nightlight, you know, night vision.
But, I mean, they're filming it without permission.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had, like, people ready to, like, catch shit out of dumpsters and stuff or whatever, I guess, and, like, run. Interesting concept.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Disney is really famous for, like, kind of wanting to keep their image under wraps. So I can imagine anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I've been to Disneyland once. I didn't grow up in the area. So I didn't, it wasn't one of those things where I did it over and over again. And there was a, there was a point where, you know, because we were there, like, almost all fucking day, and it's exhausting, and, like, you're trying to save money, so you're, like, you're not eating a lot, because the $14 hot dogs are a little pricey. But so, so I was standing in this, like, spot, just kind of killing a few minutes, like, waiting, and you start to notice the people who, like, come out of the woodwork to clean up after all of the people, you know, like, someone just like, drops a bunch of garbage on the ground, and then this guy who's been, like, sitting at a cafe for a little while just, like, quietly gets up, cleans it all up, throws it in the garbage, and then sits back down. And it's, like, it's kind of unnerving because there's all these, like, behind-the-scenes people there to really just keep up the appearances, you know? Like, I imagine there's probably much more vomiting that happens at Disneyland than I've ever seen, because there's probably people on the spot the moment it happens to clean that up.
Yeah, see, I grew up in the area, so, like, if you work at Disneyland, you get a certain amount of free passes for friends and family. So I knew, like, 10 people that worked there, so I went so many goddamn times, and the only time it was fun was when I took LSD.
I bet. Oh, man.
But it was also, like, awful at the same time, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It was fun, but it was also so fucking long. I mean, there was a lot of moments of fun. Most of them were not standing in line.
Right.
No.
Yeah. But
did you have a favorite ride while you were on acid there? Like, I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to imagine which ones I would enjoy on LSD. Like, ugh.
Everything in Toontown.
Okay. You know, I can see that.
There was, like, this, like, paparazzi tour one or something in California Adventure that was cool. Or the one where you're, like, in California Adventure, it's, like, a giant screen IMAX thing on, like, rockers, and it, like, flies you over a forest and sprays out, like, pine smell. That was crazy as fuck. That was wild.
Space Mountain's pretty legit when you're high.
That was terrifying. It's just dark and fast.
Yeah. The tricky thing about Disney while on drugs, I can imagine, is that, like, there's nowhere you can go that's not
No.
Disney, you know, like you can't just get away from it for a moment to like chill out.
Well, I mean, if you have the pass to both parks, you can walk back and forth between them.
Mm.
You can kind of, like, we would just go leave to like smoke weed in the parking lot and then go back into like California Adventure or whatever.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, I imagine.
Because you get the day pass, but you know, while you're in there, it's not always easy to think of that.
Right. Are you familiar with the radio program Drinking from Puddles in Portland? It's on cable.
No. Mm. It sounds like I should have been on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know,
just by the name.
Yeah, it's an interesting show, and I think it's still on. But in the late '90s, they put out a compilation, and on it is a spoken word piece by Pleasant Geeman from the LA punk scene back in the day. Kind of like professional punk, you know. Like, I don't think she actually I don't think she was in any bands per se. I think she was just there. But the spoken word piece is specifically about the Monsanto section of Disneyland that does not exist anymore, and how back in the 70s and early 80s, that's where all the punks would meet to like sell acid to each other before they would go on the rest of their Disneyland adventure, or, you know, pocket a flask of whiskey that they could split before they would get going or whatever. It was kind of like the meetup spot at Disneyland for punks back in the day.
I wish that existed still.
Yeah, well, I think is why the Monsanto section of Disneyland closed down, is that I think it was where like all the degenerates were hanging out.
The riffraff. Yeah, no, I mean, I would just love to see a Monsanto. What the hell that entails at Disneyland, you know?
Apparently it was a ride.
It's just them as, like, it's one of those very short, close to the ground, slow moving cars going along a track. Is that voiceover telling you about all the benefits of GMOs and pesticides?
It just sprays you with pesticides.
Right.
Go through the pesticide fountain.
Yeah. And then you come out and you're like Blinky the Fish from The Simpsons. Yeah, from what I understand, and I guess you can read up about this too, the Monsanto ride was this thing where they would shrink you down to microscopic sizes and you would see the different parts of the cell learn about biology and whatnot through this like educational ride. But it was full of like the late 60s, early 70s psychedelic effects that were popular with rides in those days.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. So it was like...
Yeah, we should definitely bring that back. I want to go on that ride.
No, exactly. It's like basically a ride version of that scene from Willy Wonka, where you go through the tunnel.
Can we make the tunnel scene from Willy Wonka an actual ride? Can we petition Disney to make that a thing?
That would be rad. I would go on that ride once.
I'd go on that ride all the time.
Does Disney own that now?
I don't know.
I imagine anything Johnny Depp is attached to these days also has Disney's fingerprints all over it.
Oh, the remake. Yeah.
That was kind of my thought. Because weren't those other, like, it's not Wes Anderson, Tim Burton. Tim Burton's released a bunch of fucking Disney movies.
Yeah, he works very closely with them. It's just so funny. Like, Disney is buying up everything these days. And so, like, there's all these memes going around of what is now a Disney princess based on Disney owning this property or that property or whatnot. I like that even the point where they're like monolithically consuming our culture bit by bit, we still find a way to kind of like put like a princess smile on the Disney monster.
Because they're going to destroy us, but they're going to do it with really catchy music at the same time. So we're going to just sing along and go down. It'll be fun. Don't worry about it, guys. We've got a catchy song.
Right.
I'm waiting for Netflix to have a theme park where they have a Black mirror ride that just actually, like, makes you depressed for, like, 9 months.
It's called the seasonal affective ride. You just spend 9 months in Portland.
The problem is that we have been on a year-long Black Mirror ride lately, and it hasn't ended yet. Like, all of the last year feels like a fucking Black Mirror episode.
I don't know. I saw on Tuesday on TV that everything's going great.
Right? Oh. You know, I'm going to recommend something that I hope is still up. I hope it didn't get taken down. So one of the members of Negative Land is on Facebook now. And so, it's still up. Fantastic. So he did an hour and a half long live remix of the State of the Union address with like weird video and audio effects throughout the thing. So if you have been sitting around going like, I can't fucking watch this guy, and you didn't watch the State of the Union address, like, go to Buddy Runyon, that's the weatherman, on Facebook. Go to his Facebook page. There's an hour and a half long video that he live remixed during the address. It actually makes it watchable.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I watched the whole thing, but I had money riding on it.
That you would bail at some point? Is that what the bet was?
No, that he was going to quote the memo.
Oh. Yeah, that would have been interesting.
I had money on that he won it.
Mm. And did you win?
And I won.
Nice.
Yeah, I won. Spoiler alert, $10.
Spoiler alert for something that happened in real life.
Yeah, I spent it on a six-pack of beer and three Taco Bell burritos, which they messed up, but I still ate them. They didn't like put cheese on them or anything. They just fucking put Fresca in it, and I didn't want that. That's gross. And then I went back later and complained, and then they gave me more fucking burritos. So I got four burritos and a six-pack of beer out of it.
Nice. You're milking that dollar. I love it.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what Taco Bell makes now, though? French fries.
Makes what?
Taco Bell makes French fries now.
Oh, yeah, I did get some. I did get some. They taste just like they're fucking potatoes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is. It's just the long version of their spicy potatoes.
Yeah.
French fries at Taco Bell is like getting a hamburger at a Chinese restaurant. Like, it feels wrong on every level.
No, there have been many, many times where I've been really drunk and all I want to eat is like French fries and burritos. And I was like, yes, this is the perfect solution for one in the morning drunk me, is I can get Taco Bell and French fries at the same place. I don't have to go to two different places.
Yeah. Well, one in the morning drunk me, though, it makes a lot of interesting decisions. Like, I'd like to get to know one in the morning drunk me a little better, because like I question his choices.
I don't question the choices. Like, if I remember them, I'm like, yep, that's the thing that happened.
I had to delete the Taco Bell app off my phone.
What? Okay, why?
Because 1 a.m. too many. The thing is, so there's a Taco Bell like a quarter of a mile from my house. It's like a 1 minute moped ride.
Mm.
It takes me longer to start the fucker than it takes to get there.
Right.
And the Taco Bell app, I don't have to talk to anybody and tell them my weird fucking vegan Crunchwrap Supreme shit that I'm fucking getting, you know, like,
oh.
Don't have to do anything. I fucking have the order saved on my phone and I just hit order. Mm-hmm. Then when I get in the parking lot, I just hit I'm here. They start making it. I just go through the drive thru and pick it up. It's way too convenient.
You know, and for your specific situation, like, I would do that every fucking time too, because like, when you got to, you know, one, you have a, you know, dietary reason, but like for any special order reason, you know, like explaining it to the clerk at the counter feels like a futile, you know, like it doesn't feel like you can give them enough information for them to ever actually get the order right. You know, like I feel like I have to start like a lecture with like a PowerPoint slide or something like that just to make sure that they get no onions correctly.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. How they fucked up my burritos today. I don't like that Fresca salsa because it's got goddamn shitty tomatoes and onions, and I don't like tomatoes and I don't like onions.
Mm.
That being said, I'll eat the shit out of some tomatoes and some onions as long as they're not fucking shitty. Like, if they're on my sandwich,
right?
If they're on my sandwich or whatever, I'll eat them, but I don't want Taco Bell onions. They're like the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back in there and I was like, hey, I was in here at 9 a.m., like, I ordered some food and you guys messed it up. And he goes, oh, we can't do anything because it's been more than 12 hours. This is at 4:30. And I was like, it's been 7 and a half. And he goes and gets the manager, and she was like, oh, that was from yesterday. We can't do anything about it today. And I was like, it was from 7 hours ago, 9 this morning. And she was like, no, it was from yesterday. And I was like, no, it was from fucking 9 a.m. today. I know because I was here.
Mm-hmm.
Look, 7 hours 9 a.m. Taco Bell time breakfast is like 3 days in the real world. So you can't blame them for feeling that way.
Ainsley, you are correct.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, in all fairness, like I said, I fucking ate the other ones, but
sure.
I was just kind of hungry on my way home, and I was like, they fucked up my order. I'm going in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you were in the right, for sure. Here's the big bummer about us not having been on the podcast for a little while, and like, this is totally on me. I'll take full responsibility, but like, Tide Pods have come and gone, and we missed our chance to really like do something with it, you know?
Are they like, gone yet, though?
Eat the most of them, is that what you mean?
Well, I just felt like we could have done something good with Tide Pods, and you know, just the window has closed. So
has it no, I think it's just evolved, because they went from the what is it like, how long you could hold it in your mouth. What was the challenge?
Originally, like, how long people could keep it in their mouth. So
yeah. So it went from that to vaping the Tide Pods.
Right.
Yeah. See, the first one, I
saw people
was someone dabbing one.
Dabbing one?
Yeah, I saw someone dab one, and I was like, that's stupid. Mm. Oh, speaking of that, this is random. I met this dude at my work, actually. He was a temp for a couple days that did a fucking Carolina Reaper bong rip that has like a million views on Facebook. And I was just like, what? And he's like, don't tell the boss. Don't tell the boss. I don't want to get in trouble. And then he quit. So immediately after, I was like, yo, check out this YouTube video, boss.
See, that's the perfect time, you know? Like, he's already fucked himself. So now you can just share without any, you know, guilt.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. I don't care at this point. You're gone, fool. But, yeah, that reminded me of people dabbing fucking Tide Pods. I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a whole thing that I don't really get and don't really care about.
Yeah.
Like, people were freaking out, but to me, I was like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, fucking millennials. I'm just kidding. I'm technically a millennial.
But what this reminds me of is that fucking, like, clown in the woods terror, fear, panic that they had a few years ago, where like everybody was like so concerned about actual killer clowns that were living in the woods that were going to, like, you know, abduct children and whatnot. And I'm like, don't you get this? Seems this seems like urban legend territory, guys. Like, this doesn't seem, you know, like, the more people like try to toss up Tide Pod shit, I'm like, I want to just like kind of point out, like this can't be real, guys. Like, this happened once and everyone is saying it's an epidemic. You know,
Ainsley and I were talking about this at the bar. Was it you who told me like the facts on who's actually died from eating them?
Yeah, like I heard that there's however many people, like 6 adults had died from eating Tide Pods, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And I was judging them hardcore, and then I read it and it's like every single one of those adults was somebody with dementia, and I'm like, oh, now I feel like a piece of shit.
That's what I mean, is that like I don't think any of these are real. Like, I think it's a panic, you know? Like, I don't think it's an actual, like, I don't think there are clowns living in the woods abducting children, and I don't think people are actually eating Tide Pods on purpose except out of absolute stupidity or dementia, you know? Like, sorry it's not funny, but it's like, it's just, it was such a strange phenomenon that kind of burbled to the surface there for a while, and This is my concern, is that, like, are we just doomed for the rest of our future to have, like, these kinds of insane pop culture moments where people are, like, eating Tide Pods and joking about it, or?
I think we are.
Yeah, because
this
YouTube.
This is the future now.
YouTube, man.
Yeah.
They did take them all off YouTube, I guess, which is, like, whatever. People eat gross shit on YouTube all the time.
Yeah.
I literally watched a channel where a dude eats expired military rations.
Mm, you know, this is a whole fucking corner of the internet where, like, people will just eat whatever for the clicks, the page views, the whatevers, you know.
See, I don't think this dude is doing it for clicks or page views, because he gets way excited, and then he, like, fucking, he rips down the cigarettes, and he's like, this is some fine tobacco, and it's like a 50-year-old cigarette. I'm like, no. No.
No.
And then he'll eat stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to bust out the charcoal for that one.
Oh, gross.
True story, when I still smoke cigarettes, I ran into a package of tobacco that had been sitting in a box for at least 7 years. It was open, but, like, it had not been used, and I needed cigarettes, so I took the tobacco, and that was the worst. And this was, like, preserved modern rolling tobacco, you know? Like, it was, you know, so I can only imagine something genuinely old, how awful it would taste to smoke that.
Yeah, I mean, it can't. That's what I was saying. Like, it can't be good. It can't. Mm-hmm. There's no way.
Yeah.
But the dude just, he rips them down. He rips them down, and he'll be like, oh, I'm going to drink this. Or I'm going to smoke these over the next week. And I'm just like, dude. And then he'll eat stuff and be like, yep, my mouth's numb. Oh, well, let me try it. I don't know. Maybe it's not rancid. And he goes, nope, definitely. It's like pins and needles and stabbing in my mouth. It's so
oh
good.
Oh. Well, I guess this is a good way to point to announce that we will have a Tide Pod Jello Shots available at the space on the 28th when we do our live show.
Hell yeah.
The space is all vegan, right?
Yeah, vegan Jello, which Summer, it's apparently a recipe that she actually perfected and whatnot. So yeah, the vegan Jello Tide Pod Shots. It'll be great.
I'm trying to get a bar out here to do them. The Twilight, the wonderful, wonderful Twilight Cafe and Bar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, March 18th. Doing more hot sauce stuff there. Should be good. Releasing my spring seasonal. Oh, yeah, since we've done the show, I now run a hot sauce company.
I know. It feels like a billion years ago that we actually talked last. It's like, oh yeah, I'm now a substitute teacher for the state of Oregon, and Joe runs a hot sauce company. Ainsley, are you the CEO of something that we don't know about?
She moved.
Yes. I officially dropped off my keys at my old apartment yesterday.
Nice.
And now I'm in the fun passive-aggressive tech exchange with my old roommates trying to get money for utilities.
Ugh.
It's super fun.
Nice.
This is one thing I do not miss about living with roommates is the negotiating bills. Ugh.
Yeah,
you know what Ainsley accomplished? She got her bed, her box spring bed frame,
yeah,
out of her room.
Mm.
So that wasn't mine. That was left here by the last person, and I didn't want a mystery box spring in my house, so I was taking it out.
Fair enough.
But
yeah.
Turns out the entire house was built around that box spring. There's no way that anyone physically got that box spring into this house.
Whoa.
Intact. So I had to, I used an electric saw and kind of destroyed it and took it out.
I love it. Oh my God, that's crazy. Like, it was actually too, there was no, oh my gosh, that's, I have so many questions for the people who put that box spring there.
Honest, I have no idea. And the mattress. And we barely got the mattress out because, you know, it was soft and slightly foldable.
Mm-hmm.
So we could get it through up the stairs and out the door. There's no way a rigid box spring was going to do that. So it had to be broken down.
That's so crazy. That's so weird.
Also, my box spring was the exact same size, and there was no way it was getting into the apartment.
Hmm.
So now I'm on the lookout for two twins.
that you can push together.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just like your parents did when they had sex, you know, and they pushed the twin beds together.
The only time.
But I'm not going to separate the box springs. I'm just going to keep the sex bed together all the time.
Nice. as the kids are doing these days.
Yep.
So when we moved into this house, there was a baby's crib in one of the rooms, and we wanted to use that room, so we wanted to take the crib out. And that was when we realized that there was no way to take it apart without damaging it. Like, it wasn't like IKEA furniture, which I was so used to. It was some other, some other furniture company, I guess, other than IKEA, which I don't know what that would be. But
strange old pre-IKEA days.
Yeah. So I had to smash this crib apart to get it out of the room because there was no way it wouldn't collapse. It wouldn't come apart with there wasn't even like places where I could unscrew things. Like, they were like no heads on the screws or anything like that. So I couldn't even I basically had to smash it. So.
I mean, at least smashing furniture is fun.
Yeah, no, it was
some aggression.
Very cathartic.
You should look up the Sesame Street Sid Canisius and his mashed potatoes.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's like a punk song that they did on Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really weird.
I mean,
that sounds amazing.
Really weird.
This is kind of like, there's that picture of him right there with a mohawk and everything and a scar on his face. Oh, shit. This is like that Bubble Guppies thing, though, too, where it's kind of like, it's like a pop punk kind of thing for kids. Or even a better example is that TV show that the Aquabats do, where, you know, it's like, we're going to bring punk rock to children. So,
like, Yo Gabba Gabba?
That too. Yo Gabba Gabba is also that. But there's an actual Aquabats TV show that ran for like 3 seasons.
Oh.
Yeah, because Yo Gabba Gabba was done by the Aquabats, though.
Yeah. They're
right? They did the music?
Mm-hmm. And Devo was on Yo Gabba Gabba as well. Mark Mothersbaugh did a bunch of stuff,
okay,
too.
The Aquabats have basically always been for kids.
Exactly. But it's just kind of funny how, like, we're finding new ways to, like, you know, because when we were kids, finding punk rock was almost taboo. Now we're finding it. We're like giving it to children, saying like, no, here, 5-year-olds, take it. The Ramones are yours. Now you want to sniff some glue, right, kids?
Yep.
Oh, man, what a world. What a world we live in. It's interesting because I played a show with Just Kitten in Bend a little while ago.
Oh.
Or Redmond, just outside of Bend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we played with, like, a band of people are my age, you know, our age, in their 30s, early 30s, early 40s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played with two bands that were, like, 19 at the oldest. It was the weirdest thing. Because, like, they were all such good musicians, and the two bands of adults were just like, yeah, well, we're not going to get any better at our instruments, but...
But we like playing.
Yeah, you know, like... They're like, yeah, I know I've maxed out at my skill level, but I don't really care.
Right. I was going to say, there's going to be a little bit of a... I was going to do a little teaser here. Is like, I think some homework may be completed by our live show. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think that's possible.